It is the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner as we move from the KSRO greenhouse over to the KSRO kitchen. 30 years and ticking. That sounds ominous, doesn't it? 30 years and counting.
Yeah.
Counting the KSRO Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I have some complimentary seaweed for you.
It's great. Yes.
From Heidi Herman.
You know, I know she was just on the Garden Talk show, and I hear so many good things about what she's doing. Great. You know, with seaweeds and stuff. Because the seaweeds are, these are dried seaweeds, for those who can't see the package that I'm holding up here. They're of a quality all over the map. Sometimes you can get really good ones and sometimes not such good ones. I mean, it's like produce.
It is that variable,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah.
And do you use them in soups and broths and stews?
Well, depending on what they are, and in salads, you know, to make salads out of them, which is really good. I think a lot of people, if you go to Japanese restaurants and stuff, are familiar with wakame salad, you know, in which you eat the seaweed. What she left was something called kombu, which you can eat, but classically it's used to make the great cooking broth of Japan, the dashi. So they take kombu and katsuobushi, which is the smoked and dried skipjack tuna, and put those two things together, and it makes the most seductive broth.
Oh, marvelous.
Yeah.
Making me hungry.
Yeah, it's good.
This is really great. Yeah. Last week you brought in a list we didn't get around to talking to because we had some wonderful guests. We had the folks from the beautiful restaurants in San Francisco come up and regale us with Burmese food.
Yeah.
The brand new Burmese cookbook, Burma Star cookbook. Yeah. The owners and chefs came up and brought us the wonderful salads, the lapite.
Yeah, the tea salad.
The fermented tea salad. Yeah. And we didn't get around to talking about the official 50 best restaurants in the world. Who says they're the best 50?
Well, you know, each year they go through this whole rigmarole to kind of come up with it. And it's interesting how it changes. You know, you would think, well, once you reach the top, you're probably going to stay there. But it's not true. You know, things do change. For a number of years, it was the French Laundry over in the Napa Valley was kind of in that list, at the top of the list. And then for the last few years, it's been an extraordinary restaurant in Denmark called Noma. And it's not on the list this year because the restaurant is closed for a short time. It'll reopen, but your restaurant must be open to be included on the list. And the fascinating thing was that this year, the number one out of the top 50 restaurants was 11 Madison Park in New York City, the number one restaurant. Yeah, and the closest one from, and there were a few others, but actually, I think there were only five or six from America. The rest were from other parts of the world. And the one, the area that is really fascinating is Peru. You know, has probably more than anybody else.
I kind of was dumbfounded.
Well,
you don't think of Peru as a culinary mecca.
Well, but it is, and it's really getting its due. And part of that is because of the nature of the country and how it was formed. It was a place that, because of mining and fishing and all of that stuff, attracted people from all over the world. So it has a very large Japanese population, has a very large Mediterranean population who are attracted there. And it is, you know, by, you know, people whose opinions I respect, sort of said, it is the hot place. If you're a foodie, you got to go to Peru.
Is it on your bucket list?
Yeah, yes. I've been there.
Oh, you have? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I haven't spent a lot of time there. Spent more time in Chile, which is funny. Here's Chile right next door to it. And the food's good, but it's not, it's not fantastic.
Did you find great food in Peru when you were there?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Never thought. Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
that's on my list.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time, my wife and I, visiting family in Chicago.
Yes.
And one of the great restaurants on the list.
Number 21 is Alinea. And have you been to Alinea?
No,
ever?
I have not.
Greg Aschatz's restaurant. And it's been in the list of the top 50 for...
But isn't it hocus pocus cuisine?
How do you mean that? What do you mean by
kind
that?
Kind of gels and foams and things of that nature?
It's molecular gastronomy.
Yes.
You know, that is what it's called. And yes, he does. You know, so you pick up something that looks like a marshmallow and it turns out to be a small fish or something
like
that.
Have you been?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I may give that a try.
Hopefully when I get a big raise from KSRO.
Then you'll try, Aaliyah. Yeah.
But there were a couple of others, too. And in San Francisco, the ones closest to us, or in the Bay Area, is Saison in San Francisco, which is on that list, too.
That's the only one in the Bay Area.
And none
from Napa Valley, either. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It's a cool list.
Yeah, it's very cool.
This weekend, of course, Easter. Was this a big, it is a big day, certainly at John Ash and Company, brunch-wise, isn't it?
Yes.
And always was one that you looked forward to, is it?
No.
When you were cooking on the line.
You know, people have asked me, what's the worst day in the restaurant? And I'm being a little facetious about this, but the worst day was, there were two. There was Easter and Mother's Day. And both of them, because you had to cook a million eggs. You know, you had to poach eggs. Everybody wants some variation on Eggs Benedict or something like that. And so you get 400 people in the restaurant for a couple of hours. That means you have to do 800 at least eggs. How are you going to do that?
How do chefs do it on the line?
You know what they do is they cook them ahead of time. So what they do is they poach them the day before, put them in ice water, put them in the refrigerator. And then when an order comes, you just gently scoop them out, run them through some simmering water to warm them up again, put it on the top of whatever poached egg dish you're doing, and you can get it out in about 30 seconds.
Is there anything that, could you repurpose those eggs at all if you haven't sold out of the, maybe sold 275 orders instead of 400? What do you do? You make egg,
can do it the next day because they're, remember there was that wonderful little book that we saw that I just love the idea of it, and the book is called, the title of the book is Put an Egg on It. And if you think about in restaurants today, everything comes with an egg. Pizza comes with an egg and all of that. So that's how you repurpose them.
Okay. We'll take a break at that point, and we have some special guests joining us on this edition of the KSRO Good Food Hour, coming in from all the way from Sebastopol,
it's
California.
It's such a long way to go there.
Wow, but they weathered the weather, which is actually pretty nice today. We have some light sunshine today. Temperature's supposed to be in the mid-60s. Rain coming tomorrow, and then a little bit of warmth on Monday and Tuesday, and possibly some rain midweek.
Well, it's nice to see. I just got back from Idaho. It was so cold.
How was it up there?
It was so cold.
What were you doing in Idaho?
I was teaching a couple of cooking classes, which was fun. But the real treat was to go to the Snake River Canyon. And Idaho, like California, has had a lot of rain. And I've never seen the falls, Shoshone Falls, like that. I'll show you a picture later.
Okay.
But it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And of course, where I was also close to a very historic spot. Guess what that is?
Wait, you told me this about a year ago. Wait, Evel Knievel.
That's right. It was where Evel Knievel tried to jump the Snake River Canyon, hit a motorcycle with a jet on it, and he got about 100 feet out there, and the jet turned off. But luckily, he had a parachute.
So. Is there a plaque or anything?
Yeah, there is. Not much of one, but and a little pile of dirt where he tried to launch himself. So.
Okay. Well, have you ever make it up there? And what part of Idaho is this?
That's Twin Falls. So
Twin
that's
Falls.
That's on the way up to... what's the great resort? It went out of my mind.
Great resort in Idaho.
What is it?
I don't know. I've never been to Idaho.
Okay. It's beautiful there.
I'm going to put Peru in front of that.
Yeah, okay.
But maybe Idaho will be on my bucket list. We'll be back after this. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash.
Hey, it's Joe Pags inviting you to join me for a different brand of talk radio. KSRO's new Joe Pags Show. Weeknights 6 to 9 on KSRO.
Spoil mom this Mother's Day with Sunday brunch or dinner at the Inn at the Tides in beautiful Bodega Bay. Overlooking the water with gorgeous views of the bay, the Bayview Restaurant at the Inn at the Tides serves fresh local seafood, California and Italian cuisine year-round. All ingredients sourced locally and organic when available. Start with a complimentary mimosa. Then enjoy first courses like soy ginger marinated salmon carpaccio, entrees like crab cake benedict, lobster ravioli, or grilled filet hitchcock. A filet mignon stuffed with Dungeness crab and drizzled with demi-glace and béarnaise sauce. For dessert, she'll swoon over Meyer lemon cheesecake, creme brulee, chocolate zucchero cake, or mixed berry tiramisu. Mother's Day at the Bayview Restaurant, served from 10:30 to 7:00. Reserve your spot now. Children 12 and under are half priced. The Inn at the Tides. It's less than 30 minutes from Santa Rosa, but seems a world away. Go to innatthetides.com for more info.
Hi, this is Chip Wade, DIY expert, TV host, and lead designer for WadeWorks Creative. The great outdoors just got greater. You can spruce up your spring with all the lawn and gardening supplies you'll need from the Home Depot. They also have guaranteed low prices on outdoor power equipment from top brands like Ryobi, Toro, Ego, and Echo. Plus, they have all the newest grills and patio sets to keep your outdoors trendy all season long. Visit homedepot.com/gardeningcenter for details. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing.
It's Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot, where right now, select John Deere mowers come with a free Home Depot gift card worth up to $350. From zero-turn models to the new Excel cutting decks, John Deere gives you a quality cut that won't cut into your downtime. And that free Home Depot gift card puts even more spring in your pocket. Buy a John Deere, get a gift card during Spring Black Friday only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through April 19th in store and online. Gift card via mail-in rebate. See store for details.
One night only, Art Garfunkel, live at Graton Resort and Casino.
I love you, and that's all I
need. Art Garfunkel, Sunday, May 14th at 7 p.m.
Now the people bow to pray to the neon god they made.
Tickets start at $50 and on sale now at the Graton Reward Center and Ticketmaster.com. Music legend Art Garfunkel, Sunday, May 14th at Graton Resort and Casino.
KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. About 10 years ago, a new restaurant appeared in Sebastopol, California that really shook things up. It was called Peter Lowell's, mm-hmm. and it was quite different format and architecturally very different than any other restaurant that I had seen.
And the food was different.
And the food was very different, too, in Sebastopol.
Yeah.
And the visionary behind it, his family is a little Sheldon, and welcome to the show. It's nice to meet you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks
been
for having me.
Been eating at your restaurant for 10 years, mm-hmm. and it's nice to have you. Was your dad involved in the whole build-out of the restaurant?
Yeah, my father, we grew up in Sebastopol. He moved up in the 70s, and he's an architect, and he's done his own projects over the years, and this was kind of the biggest project he had done. And it involved, it was all LEED certified, gold, and that was kind of a big process of really kind of sinking his teeth into the paperwork of really what it takes to be a sustainable architect.
I remember
project.
Architecturally it raised, I mm-hmm. mean, it was covered all across the country about how cutting edge the material was, the choices.
So just for those who may not know what that is, what do you have to do to
get certification?
For LEED, yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's they really are looking at the whole project and everything from, you know, how people are commuting to the project and what kind of parking there is. You have to have spike spaces and to, you know, the materials to how much ground rain is absorbed back into the ground as opposed to running off into the laguna to the materials. So you can choose any, you know, if you have to make 300 points to get gold, then it can be like you can make them up in different ways. So
okay.
It's, you know, to kind of amalgamate a whole
and was it,
project.
Was it kind of the first of that kind of
it was,
project
it,
in Sebastopol?
I believe, yeah. For sure it was the first LEED certified project in Sebastopol. And then they also have a gray water system, and it was one of the first kind of gray water systems to be implemented in a commercial setting. You know, in home setting, that's like, you know, turning your washing machine and, you know, filtering it slightly and then using that for, you know, watering your lawn
What was the space before it was Peter Lowell's?
Oh, back in the day, it was Benedetti Tires.
Oh,
that was the original location of Benedetti Tires. And then it was, for a bunch of years, it was, you know, like many of those old kind of workshops turned into like a karate studio.
Yeah, okay. So it had multiple tenants.
Yeah, and then it was cleared and empty for several years, and then it was developed. So, yeah, my father was the architect. I was in college. He was mentioning the project to me, and I was working with a chef in Seattle at this restaurant called Cafe Lago, and it was kind of a rustic Italian restaurant, and he was super passionate chef, and I was like in college, and we were both about the same age, but he was like, I mentioned to him this idea that my dad had, and it was crazy to me because I was just in college and cooking in restaurants, but he was like ready. So he was like latched onto it. And so I was like, huh, okay.
And the 10th anniversary is this year.
The 10th anniversary is this year.
So how would you, at Peter Lowell's, how would you describe the menu for those who haven't been there?
Well, you know, it really, in some odd way, kind of really represents, you know, Sebastopol. And that's partly because I grew up in Sebastopol. But there's something maybe deeper about that, you know. I mean, it's some combination of kind of the health food kind of backbone of Sebastopol, you know, that Sebastopol revolution of the 70s. Mm-hmm. And
alternative,
but then you know, kind of melded with like a, you know, Chez Panisse kind of influenced menu. So it, you know, pizzas, pastas, you know, real kind of simple fresh preparations of meat. You know, we use all whole animals, so that's a big part of our program is working with different farms. So we get, we have our rabbit farm and we have our pig farm. And we're always bringing in, you know, farm direct kind of animals, and the menu's changing. We only do one meat featured every night.
Oh.
So, you know, you won't get like steak and rabbit and pork. Mm-hmm. Tonight you'll get rabbit, and you'll have rabbit liver mousse, and you'll have rabbit saddle as the entree, and you'll have sausage on the pizza. Mm-hmm. And then it'll kind of evolve, you know, so there might be crossing over, but we feature one animal at a time.
Are you open breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yeah. So we're open. I living in Seattle in college, I was kind of really enamored with the coffee culture up there and just that social kind of vibe and really great coffee and hanging out. And so I thought, oh, well, let's do that. And then I was like, I really like, you know, great lunch and simple lunches. And then I was like, oh, and let's do dinner too. So it kind of was like me trying to do everything that I like: coffee, pizzas, pastas, you know,
You were young.
I was young, yeah.
And we're looking at the menu from Thursday night. Like you mentioned, there's one meat entree. It's a duck breast, potato, cabbage, rhubarb, succo di anatra, and Aleppo pepper. And then there's a white bass entree from Thursday night.
So we'll always have one fish entree as well. And then
fettuccine, ravioli, the pizza, which is suckling pig sausage.
Yeah, pizza, so we just got a suckling pig in. Joe was butchering it yesterday. He ground part of it into the sausage for the pizza. That's what I had for dinner last night. It was amazing. And then,
And the carte de musica, cornflour flatbread, amaro de monte, seafood polpetta with bone marrow, manila clams, chili fennel, duck liver mousse. You got me on that one.
So it's really kind of Mediterranean driven, would you say?
Yeah. I mean, Joe is classically trained chef. He's been with us for almost 3 years now. And he was classically trained, worked in a bunch of restaurants in San Francisco, wanted, you know, a different lifestyle, moved up here. And so he really brings that. Really kind of broad kind of Mediterranean kind of Californian feel. You know, Italian is kind of still really the heart of the evening specials menu at Peter Lowell's. So, you know, we're usually, you know, playing with Italian words and Italian recipes. But then we always have a vegan vegetarian entree. Oh. And so that dish is often like maybe influenced by broader spectrums, just because you really kind of have to make interesting and delicious vegan dishes, changing all year long with really vegetable centric. We're pulling, whether it's, you know, Mediterranean or African or spices or, you
well,
know,
I
just
like the vegetable centric part, because that's what drew me into the restaurant 10 years ago. Was I loved the bowls, the vegetable
macro
bowls,
yeah.
The macro bowls, which I really loved a great deal. The wine list, it's a really cool wine list, and it was really exciting. I remember when you debuted your wine list 10 years ago, a lot of local producers, a lot of labels you really didn't see very often. Was that your doing?
Or yeah. Not? Yeah. I mean, it's funny now, like when I see new servers come in who don't know anything about wine, I'm like, oh yeah, that was me 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like all I knew was that I really wanted, you know, organically farmed grapes and really wanted to. And so luckily that led me, you know, it can lead you to kind of wines that are maybe subpar, but organically farmed. But it can also lead you to people who really care about what they do. And so, you know, that led me, you know, my first winery I ever really connected with was Porter Creek Winery. Mm-hmm. And they farm biodynamically, and they just really old school, but just really honest, like, you know, pure wines. And from there, you know, I met Eric Sussman at Radio Coteau, mm-hmm. and, you know, on and on to now, you know, I'm very close friends with Hobo Winery, and we use a lot of their wines because they're a little more price friendly for, you know, by the glass and, you know, different stuff. And that'll lead us into later talking about this amazing fundraiser we're doing with Hobo Winery in the end of the month.
And so. I know that you have some great local beers on there. And also, I think, is it cider by on the tap? Cider on tap?
At Handline, we do cider on tap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where it's just an amazing kind of explosion of a beer everyone knows about, and cider is growing too. So we're really trying to play with that and find delicious, fresh new ciders.
We should probably have this lovely lady put her headphones on and introduce you. Who is this that you brought along?
This is Natalie Goebel. She's my partner. We have a beautiful son together, Jack, and she we grew up together in the restaurant Peter Lowell's, and then we're very proud to have opened Handline Restaurant together.
So were you the chef at Peter Lowell's for a while, Natalie?
I did start cooking at Peter Lowell's. It kind of was when I first started working there, I was actually working in the front of house. And then Lowell and I kind of started dreaming about growing our own produce for the restaurant. And I grew up on a 24-acre farm outside of Sebastopol. So that dream turned into reality for us.
With that 24-acre farm, what was grown on that farm when you were growing up?
Well, prior to us planting vegetables for the restaurant, my dad had planted feijoa, so pineapple guava, fuyu persimmons. There was an acre of kiwis, and then the majority of it are apples.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And is there still apples and feijoas? And
there, yeah, all the fruit trees are still more or less thriving. They definitely produce a lot of fruit.
What's the name of the farm?
The greater property is Valley Verde Farms. It's out on Green Valley Road.
Valley Verde Farms. Mm-hmm. It's not open to the public, though.
It's not open to the public. So, you know, as soon as Lowell and I kind of started working this little 2-acre parcel within that, we dubbed that 2 acres, 2 belly acres, and that's where
two belly acres.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where we grew produce for Peter Lowell's. And then one thing led to another, and I kind of became more interested in working with the food in the kitchen, and started doing that at Peter Lowell's. And then it became a lot to kind of juggle farming and working in the kitchen. So my older brother actually took over growing produce.
It's still growing.
So you don't have formal training, though, in cooking?
I don't have formal training, no. I learned everything at Peter Lowell's.
I think it's so extraordinary because people think they have to go spend boku bucks, you know, going to some fancy culinary school. And, you know, I often tell people, just go work for somebody that you admire.
Yeah, so I was really lucky to find myself in a position at Peter Lowell's where we had a kind of a series of really talented chefs come through the kitchen and work for a handful of years. And so I was able to work really closely with a number of them and learn quite a bit through that process.
So then came this new restaurant.
And at that point, we'll take a break because we're at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk about the whole story of Handline. And also, thank you both for bringing in some beautiful foods for us to taste this morning, too. Lowell Sheldon and also Natalie Goebel, who are partners in both Peter Lowell's restaurant and the new Handline restaurant, both in Sebastopol. We'll continue our conversation after this live in the KSRO kitchen. kitchen this morning, Chef John Ash. I'm Steve Garner. This is KSRO. Oh, and by the way, they generously have brought a gift certificate or so to give away to a lucky KSRO.
I thought that was for me.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
You pay full price when you go to the restaurant, John. But for one of our listeners, they'll be the guests of Handline, Peter Lowles, and KSRO. Fantastic. At the end of the show.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Kavon Looney, and this is the home of Don't Say Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5, KSRO.
GNC Autobody, a family business for almost half a century, was built on specific values created by the founders and now handed down to the next generation. These values are promises to deliver to you, the guests, the best service and collision repair possible. It's no accident GNC has been voted one of the top 10 auto body facilities in the entire U.S. year after year and is recommended by more insurance companies than our other competitors. Listen to Gene Crozon, the original founder of GNC Auto Body, with promises that still ring true today.
You can't get a finer repair job quicker, back on the road, not guaranteed for 6 months or a year, but guaranteed forever, as long as you own the car until you sell it.
For the highest quality repair, fastest turnarounds in the industry, a lifetime guarantee on all workmanship and paint, and 11 Northern California locations to serve you. GNC Auto Body. We listen, we promise, we deliver.
We're the people pleasing business.
Community pride, it's all inside. We're Petaluma Pride.
Hi, I'm Guy Crosby. I'm a salesperson for Petaluma's North Bay Nissan for 30 years, and I'm Petaluma proud.
It's believed the name Petaluma means flat-back hills in the language of the Miwok Indians that were in the area more than 5,000 years ago.
Petaluma, community pride, it's all inside. We're Petaluma proud.
Hi, I'm Roger Maples with Maples Service. At Maple Service, we are ready to take care of all your plumbing needs, from a leaky faucet to a water heater or even a sewer line backup. Our goal at Maple Service is 100% customer satisfaction. Maple Service, your plumber for life.
If you need to have some plumbing done and you want to know what to do, call Maple Service first and we'll take care of you.
The adventure to winning continues during Twin Pine Casino's $100,000 Blazing Trails giveaway. Cash and prize drawings are going strong every Saturday in April. And join us for the grand prize drawing April 29th for a chance to take home two prizes, a 2017 Wolf Pup Toy Hauler and 2017 Honda ATV for all your adventures. It's the $100,000 Blazing Trails giveaway at the only place to play and stay in wine country, Twin Pine Casino and Hotel.
Must be 21 to play.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Mostly sunny today, high 67, 58 on the coast. Big cloudy tonight, low 44, 49 on the shores. Light rain for Sunday at 55, 54 in Bodega Bay. A little more rain for Monday at 63, 60 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Steve Garner, Chef John Ash, it's the KSRO Good Food Hour. Glad you stopped by this morning, a delicious hour of conversation with Lowell Sheldon and Natalie Goebel from Handline and Peter Lowell's. We've moved on to from Peter Lowell's, the first restaurant, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary. And you're having, is it some big event coming up on April 29th? Would you describe what that's all about?
Yeah, I would love to. I'm very excited about it, and I know that the folks who own Hobo Winery are also very excited. Our friendship's been growing over the last several years, and we were talking about how we could kind of give back. So we said, well, let's go for it. It's the time's right. So we put together this idea of a ping pong tournament to as kind of the core of a fundraiser event. And then we said, well, who are we going to fundraise money for? And we happened to know this about this wonderful organization in Sebastopol called the School Box Project, and they What they do is they use shipping containers to build mobile classrooms, and they put them in refugee camps. Right now, all their camps are outside of Syria, I think mostly in the Greek islands, and they are they create these mobile classrooms, and they do trauma-based education for the children and the families. So it's a really, really special organization, and they are they're just doing great work. They just got a prize from the UN for their creativity and how they're approaching it, solving a problem. It's called Solve, and that gives them kind of intellectual support, but not financial support. So we're really proud to be doing this fundraiser. So it's a ping pong tournament, which is fun and silly, and hopefully everyone's going to have their headbands.
Is that
and,
high shorts. Your sport?
That is. I like sports, so it's just one of the things I like. But I'm betting money on the fact that I'm going to lose in the first round.
The event's called Hobo Pong. So Hobo's Pong. The winery, and ping pong. We got that. It's a table tennis tournament. So, I don't know of another table tennis tournament fundraiser that we've talked about ever in 30 years. So continue on.
Yeah. So that's the kind of ploy. There'll be a bunch of people whacking small balls around. And then otherwise, there's going to be great food. Handline's going to be there. Drifter Pizza is going to be there. Then wine. We have wine from County Line Vineyards, which is made by Eric Sussman. And then we also have Hen House Brewing's going to be there. And then we have four bands. The Rainbow Girls, I believe. The Easy Leaves and shoot two others, but you can go to if you Google Hobo Pong or go to the Facebook page for Hobo Pong fundraiser, and you can check it out. Buy tickets. $50 gets you food, drink, music. $100 gets you in the tournament, and all the proceeds go to this organization. We're hoping to raise $10,000, which gets them a new classroom, which is really exciting. We're pumped.
When is this?
April 29th, which is two Saturdays from today. It's in the afternoon. It's right on in Roseland, so people who live in Santa Rosa can ride their bike there. People who, or carpool or come out, however you can get there.
So are tickets available at the door, or are these pre-sale only?
They're available on Brown Paper Tickets. You can Google Hobo Pong. You can get them at the door as long as it's not sold out. Right. Of course, for everyone's peace of mind, we're hoping people buy tickets early so we know how many people are going to be there.
Sure.
Come out any way you can. Come out.
This sounds really great. Mm-hmm. It's a benefit for the School Box Project. So put it on your calendar now, April 29th, and go directly and look and read about this and get tickets.
I've never heard of the School Box Project, but it sounds pretty extraordinary.
It's pretty pretty thoughtful.
Just out of curiosity, I'll just ask you one more question about. Do you know how many classrooms they have?
No, I don't. Yeah. Maybe three or four.
Okay. If you grew up in West County, I'm sure you ate at least once or twice at Foster Freeze. I certainly did. I lived in Bloomfield for many, many years back in the 70s, and late night I'd go get a milkshake or a cone.
What did you look like then?
I'll show you my driver's license from 1972.
Yeah, I have a picture.
Anyway, Foster Freeze kind of fell on hard times. It wasn't doing real well and eventually closed. And I just can tell us the vision that, we could come in and create this one-of-a-kind restaurant. Who came up with this idea?
Well, I think, the availability of the old Foster's Freeze space wasn't actually the first incarnation of the dream or the concept. We kind of started talking about a seafood-centric restaurant that kind of links us to our coast, which is not very far away, but in Sebastopol and kind of anywhere east of Sebastopol, it's not super easy to get really fresh local seafood. So that was the seed of the dream. It was kind of a desire to find a way to bring super fresh, super local, super seasonal seafood to the kind of inland communities.
Okay. And then you thought, Foster Freeze, we can do it here. Did your dad come in? Was there an architectural team that said, is this possible to do? Because it's one of the most beautiful restaurants anywhere.
My dad definitely was a part of the whole process. We worked with a couple different designers, kind of thinking about different ways we could do it. My father was a big part of it. You know, we saw the property and we kind of saw that we had this idea for this kind of seafood concept, but that really evolved with the kind of design of the property and the history of the property. And so we started to think to ourselves, well, okay, we have this coastal seafood kind of thing, and then. But then Foster's Freeze, you know, and as people may know, the kind of, you know, really the fast food kind of American kind of fast food really developed in L.A., you know, McDonald's, Foster's Freeze, a lot of these Wendy's, I think, Burger King's from Florida.
Bob's Big Boy.
That was the original. So all these places were from LA, which is also coastal. So we're like, okay. And then we're like, and then there's this whole California history that is really has this Mexican kind of backbone, culinarily, you know, all immigrants, you know, the obviously history of.
One of the things that you did, though, is you kept, I guess, kind of the soul of the fast food Foster's Freeze. I mean, you're way beyond in terms of what the food is, but with this kind of counter service idea, was that always part of it?
Yeah.
Or describe what that is.
I mean, I think that was part of it in that our goal was always to keep it really casual, mm-hmm. keep it easy for anybody to come and go mm-hmm. as they need to, just to keep it laid back and not.
So people
not
order at the counter like they would at the Foster mm-hmm. Freeze. You retained, didn't you, the original soft serve machines?
Yeah, the original soft serve machine is chugging along.
But you upgraded the product, did you?
Yes,
not?
We certainly did.
What's being served now?
It's organic Strauss soft serve. Yeah.
That's what I stop in for that because I'm a soft serve fan. And the menu is not just seafood, though. It's
no, not by any means. Yeah, we serve, you know, other proteins.
For example, this protein in front of us. Describe what we're going to be tasting.
So this is our hand-carved al pastor taco. It's pork butt that's been marinated with spices and apple cider vinegar, and then it's slow roasted on a traditional trompo or a spit, a vertical spit, that they use in Mexico to cook al pastor. Mm.
Do you make these tortillas?
Yeah, so the tortillas are handmade. We kind of discovered the concept of a fresh tortilla, tasting our way around California, also with several trips to Mexico. In a lot of small towns in Mexico, each town has a mill, a community style mill, where they, each family brings their own niche tamal or corn to grind every day, every morning. And the flavor of a freshly milled tortilla is profoundly different than that of a
You buy in the store.
Yeah.
So you have your own comal there, and you grind your own flour?
Yeah, we cook our own corn using a process called nixtamal, and then we grind our own corn with this beautiful little mill.
So it's a wet grind, as opposed to like grinding flours dry, right? This is a boiled corn, still hard kind of to the touch, but once you grind it, it becomes a paste right away. So then that is the masa that, you know, and then we hold that, and the girls roll it out into balls, and...
That's just magnificent. It. And then there's some pickled onions, it looks like, on here, too.
Which is traditional. Yeah.
Boy, what a beautiful plate of food.
It's really delicious.
And you call this the Los Cabos, carved al pastor?
Exactly, yeah.
Pickled onion and salsa verde. So this is under the milled corn tacos portion of the menu. You have a beer-battered fried rockfish, which people rave about. It's one of the signature items, isn't it?
It most certainly is. If I had to choose one item on the menu that we could... Mm. Never do away with it would be that one.
And you make your own chipotle.
It's the eggs Benedict of Easter.
But everybody's going to order.
Yeah,
and you get
no more. Don't take any more orders.
So you get a good supply of the rockfish from the coast.
We do. Yeah. So that's one of the things we're really excited about at Handline is forging relationships with local fishermen and locals. Purveyors of seafood who are working directly with local fishermen to bring us the freshest catch possible. So we've got a really solid relationship with a company called 2xC out of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. and they work directly with a lot of fishermen. Everything is traceable. So that means that they can tell you where it was caught, how it was caught, you know, all the methods, whether there's bycatch, all that stuff that we would like that, you know, to bring some integrity to the seafood industry in that way. So we're really excited to be supporting them and working with them.
I really applaud you for that, because the seafood industry generally is kind of it's kind of the Wild West.
Yeah.
You don't kind of know where your fish is coming from, mm-hmm. or how it's been handled.
Yeah, so they're doing really awesome work. Another company that we've recently developed a relationship with is Water to Table, and they've got the same or similar philosophy that they bring.
Where's Water?
Also out of San Francisco. Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the things that, you know, I think is important to talk about in talking about sourcing of seafood is that, you know, we can get very, you know, fresh, delicious rockfish that's caught by a more kind of a larger method, you know, which is a net or long lines or, you know, from Washington or Canada, and it's a very good product, and we do use it because we can't get enough of the locally line caught rockfish. But you know, that costs us $6, whereas the line caught rockfish costs us $10 mm-hmm. a pound. So it's a big difference in price, and so we really, you know, we value that, and we're building that into our model, just as we did at Peter Lowell's with, you know, local meats. Mm. But you know, it's really important for consumers to understand that you know, as we try to move in that direction, you know, we have to kind of think about the cost of food. Yes. and how we're allocating our resources,
well, and
where the value is for
and,
us.
Keeping these fish alive, I think, for a long time, for all of us. I remember when I first started, it was like, well, rockfish, it's cheap, you know, there all kinds of them. And then we found out that for a fish to grow to be 5 pounds, it could take 20 years, 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so you just don't go catch them with abandon, you know.
Right.
The other menu items, Mrs. Garner dined at the restaurant a few weeks ago, her first time, and she came back and said, I will go back for the La Serena stewed calamari anytime, any day. She thought it was just a sensational dish. And that fluctuates to get the calamari, doesn't it? Or can you get it most of the time?
It does. You know, I mean, there's a season for fresh squid along our coastline. And I think that's another kind of part of the missing link in terms of a consumer's relationship to seafood, is realizing that there are seasons for things. And, you know, for example, king salmon is not available year-round, and I think that's just the easiest example to use, but squid is the same way. Local calamari is not available year-round. So what is really amazing about some of the things that 2xC and actually Water to Table both do is they individually quick-freeze squid. So they'll catch it and then freeze it on the boat. Oh. Right away, so it stays as fresh as possible, and then they'll thaw it for you, and it comes to us, and we just lightly poach it, and then we serve it in a salad.
Nice, but you said it was so
tender. I have to ask, so what is the secret to cooking squid so that it doesn't end up being like a rubber band?
Basically, you have two windows of opportunity for squid. One is to cook it for a very brief amount of time, so you know, from 45 seconds to a minute and 20 seconds, I would say, is that window. And you can do that in hot oil in a pan, or you can do that in boiling water in a, you know, court bouillon or some kind of flavorful liquid or stock. And then anything kind of after that minute and a half, you're going to get that kind of rubbery, undesirable texture in squid. And then beyond that, if you were to, let's say, braise it for a long time, like an hour and a half or 2 hours, it'll kind of reach that soft, tender point again. So,
what do you choose?
We do the short version.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So, I think someone that really knows, pays attention.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, most of the tasks that we perform in the kitchen need a lot of attention. but yeah, this is a particularly kind of, you know, brief mm-hmm. moment where you have an opportunity to.
Where are you sourcing your beef? I understand you got a great hamburger there.
We do. You know, we through Peter Lowell's have developed relationships with small farmers around the area, and pastured beef or sustainably grown beef is one of the more difficult things to source. Just in terms of
from Sonoma County
specifically,
yeah. Right.
You know, the space required to to grow cattle is huge. The resources required to grow cattle are huge. And then the size of Peter Lowell's has never really allowed for us to bring in more than, for example, half a cow at a time or even a quarter cow at a time, just because it's a really large animal. And if you guys have ever peeked your heads around the corner at Peter Lowell's, it's a really tiny kitchen.
Yeah.
So we have developed relationships, one with Magruder Ranch up in Potter Valley, and they grow really beautiful beef. So in opening Handline and kind of preparing for putting together this burger, I reached out to Grace at Magruder and talked to her about sourcing beef for the burger. And we purchased a cow from her before opening, and we had a local facility turn it into a burger grind for us. And we were, opening weekend, we were so overwhelmed with the flurry of people excited to come try the restaurant that I think we sold out of that beef in like one day.
Because it's grass fed beef.
It is.
And what's the special challenge for a cook? It cooks differently.
It does. Yeah. I mean, the fat to to meat ratio can be different. It can be a little bit leaner product. The flavor, I think, unanimously cooks would say is much better, much more kind of deep beef flavor. But yeah, the fat content starts to be challenging. So we had kind of a whole cow grind. I selected a few cuts that I wanted in there to increase the fat percentage for us. But yeah, so that, I mean, it was tasty beef. It was beautiful. But we go through quite a big volume. So one of the challenges with sourcing local beef, especially from Magruder, for example, is that she doesn't harvest that many animals that frequently to kind of provide us with the volume that we need right now. She even goes through a period of a couple months in the winter where she doesn't harvest any animals because the grass is dry and they're not.
As you transition from winter to spring, I'm noticing an addition on your Handline spring menu that I haven't seen before. It's called Roots and Shoots.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Describe that.
Yeah. So in the same way that, Peter Lowell's was kind of represents in some way this alternative kind of,
West County,
I guess is what we call it. With the mackerel bowl, for example, and just a healthy alternatives to consuming meat or other things like that. The Roots and Shoots is our sort of ode to that crowd.
And it's sprouted lentils, roasted beets and carrots, mushroom conserva, kale pesto, almond ricotta, and farmer's cheese.
Do you find it more difficult to be on the vegetarian side rather than on the meat side or not?
I think because I learned at Peter Lowell's a lot of what I do, the inspiration and growing up on the farm and farming the produce for the restaurant for a long time, the inspiration comes from the seasons of the vegetables, really. I mean, I'm also really excited about the seafood component and local seafood personally, but I don't find it difficult to be on one side or the other. I think I draw a lot of inspiration from both things.
A final break. And the soup and salad, the Pier 45, the Fisherman's Stew, very popular. And another one that friends that have eaten there have raved about is the Monterey House Smoked Trout. Is that a real popular dish?
It's a very popular dish, yeah. We're pretty excited about that as well because we're using McFarland Springs trout, which is a product that was developed by 2xC. It's a farmed trout. It's farmed sustainably, very specific feed. They eat algae and non-GMO grains and all these things that are very specifically chosen, and it's a beautiful product consistently.
And good old Green Goddess dressing with that.
Yeah, it's a classic.
We'll come back after this break.
Golden State Warriors play-by-play on KSRO is brought to you by Hansel BMW.
Hello, I'm Joyce DeFalla, the Assistant Minister at the Center for Spiritual Living, Santa Rosa. You may have heard our program, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun, a half hour of practical spiritual inspiration at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. We'd also like to invite you to visit our book and gift store, Stepping Stones Books and Gifts, where you'll find a wide range of metaphysical and spiritual books, CDs, and DVDs, as well as many gift items for the spiritually inclined. Stepping Stones Books and Gifts is open Saturday through Wednesday. Please call for our hours, 707-546-4543. That's Stepping Stones Books and Gifts at the Center for Spiritual Living, 2075 Occidental Road. You can also visit Stepping Stones online at steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org. That's one word, steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org. And don't forget, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun at 8:30 on Sunday mornings.
Better business through better advertising. An advertising tip for small business owners by international marketing expert Matt Hackett.
One of the questions I'm asked most often by business owners is how much should my advertising budget be? And most people are expecting some kind of dollar amount in my answer. But the more important question is, where does your advertising budget come from? If you're like many businesses, you'd say, my advertising spend comes whenever I have the money to afford it. Unfortunately, this approach means you're always behind. If you wait until times are good to advertise, you'll never feel the benefit when times aren't so good, which is often when you need it most. In other words, you should think of advertising as a cost of sales. Set yourself a regular advertising budget and make the amount a flat percentage of your annual costs, say 5% to begin, and spend that budget month in, month out. Do this, and your advertising will be a real long-term investment in your business and give you a real return.
For more tips, go to ariaconnect.com. That's ariaconnect.com.
Not available in all states.
Hey, you two, what brings you to the mall?
We're just here checking on our robot.
Your robot?
Our recent Irby's Froyo robot. Diane and I became franchisees last month.
It serves frozen yogurt creations to customers in 60 seconds.
Recent Irby's provided us with everything we needed. They even help you secure amazing locations. Movie theaters, grocery stores, college campuses, theme parks. They make any location a sensation.
How do I get a Froyo robot of my own?
Just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 2424. But hurry, because they're going fast. Froyofranchising.com, promo code 2424.
Well, it's been a quick 48 minutes. We're going to give away some gift certificates to both Handline and Peter Lowe's in a moment. But comment on the great ceviche. Is this the rockfish again?
It is, yeah. That's what we call the Rosaritos.
Rosaritos. Like Rosarito Beach, you mean?
Exactly.
In Mexico. Okay. And so you marinate this how long?
Oh, we don't marinate it for more than 15 minutes or so.
Because if you do?
The texture of the fish changes dramatically, and it kind of becomes, you know, as it sits in the lime, it starts to cook, essentially.
You know what it, you know what the technical term is? It denatures.
It denatures. I was going to use that word, and then I decided.
It's fine.
I don't want to sound too
and
pretentious.
And then I decided maybe not
and,
to.
And so what else is in here? Green garlic and?
There's a pickled green garlic. Mm. And
avocado?
Then there's a little, a little avocado, and there's some chili arbol.
Oh, beautiful. And then you serve this with your homemade tortilla chips.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Okay, so now you've got your thinking caps on. Your favorite number is between 1 and 15. We'll start with Natalie.
5.
Caller number 5 and Lowell?
7.
Caller number 5 and caller number 7. Let's do caller number 5 will win the Handline gift certificate.
Sure.
And caller number 7 will win a $25 gift certificate to Peter Lowe's. 636-1350 is the number to call. 636-1350 will take caller number 5 and caller number 7, and you'll go courtesy for a breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Peter Lowe.
Indeed.
Or was it lunch and dinner at the Handline?
That's right.
And they're both within about 2 minutes and 30 seconds of each other drive. Wouldn't you say it's a couple minutes between the restaurants?
It's
well, traffic can be bad going down Main Street there. So 5 minutes, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So when are you going to franchise and open these all over California, Handline?
Well,
it's a popular question.
We had a kid recently, and so we're really enjoying in the other direction from the intensity of opening a restaurant. I had forgotten how hard it was. So I jumped into opening a second restaurant, and I was pretty shocked by the month leading up and the month after at just the intensity of doing something completely new.
I know that the lines are out the door for Handlines. It's been a tremendous success. Remember, it's callers number 5 and 7 just people are calling saying, what numbers did they say? Callers number 5 and 7. I think we already have a couple winners, but our producer's taking the calls now.
But we also, you know, at Handline, we have a wonderful happy hour menu, which is every day. So 7 days a week from 3 to 5, and then also a late night happy hour from 8:30 to 10. There's some special stuff like a cool trout chowder that's on that menu, toasted ditos, some other really fun stuff that definitely encourage people to come in for. But we're open at Handline from 11 a.m. straight through to 10 p.m.
Well, check it out when you're in Sebastopol. It was great meeting both of you. And I'll look for you in the kitchen, and I'll look for a little serving soft serve.
Okay. Thanks so much for having us.
All right, John, Earth Day next week. We've got some good planned show for next Saturday, so we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And, gosh, have a safe week. Enjoy the sunshine. We'll talk on Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour next week. I'm Steve Garner for Chef John Ash. This is the KSRO Good Food Hour.
Hey, it's Joe Pags, and I believe talk radio doesn't have to be boring. Please try KSRO's new Joe Pags Show, weeknight 6 to 9 on KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa.